Heavily armed riot police have cracked down on a second wave of protests in Hong Kong after tens or hundreds of thousands of people again took to the streets to protest the controversial extradition bill. Police fired rubber bullets and tear gas at the protesters, but Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, has accused the demonstrators of carrying out organised riots.
Throughout the day around Admiralty, everyone has seen the saddening scenes, the riots which damage peaceful society. Ignoring law and discipline is unacceptable for any civilised societies. It's obvious that these are not peaceful rallies, but openly organised riots.
I think it's fair to say they were not peaceful rallies in some parts anyway. That's the Hong Kong leader, Carrie Lam. Lawmakers have now delayed the second reading of the bill, which would allow extradition to mainland China. But they maintain they're committed to passing the bill next week. This legislation is worrying a lot of people in Hong Kong, obviously, and amongst them some business leaders who are warning it will spell the death of Hong Kong. Andrew Leong is a businessman. He's CEO and chair of Andrew Leong International Consultants and Investments. He joins us from Hong Kong. Andrew, welcome to breakfast.
Well, welcome. Good morning here.
Andrew, we saw those violent clashes in Hong Kong late yesterday and overnight. What's your reaction to how police responded to the demonstrations this time?
Well, I mean, what was supposed to be a peaceful demonstration, I mean, as evidenced by the massive march, largely peaceful the day before, has now erupted into evident violence, you know, sort of teams of well-trained and masked and kind of hooligans using all sorts of very dangerous weapons, setting fire and then throwing bricks, erecting barricades. So there's obviously some suspicious forces at work. But nevertheless, most of the people, they are come from all walks of life. You've got housewives, you've got children, you've got students, you've of course got politicians. Obviously, the concern is that the rule of law on the other side of the border is not to be trusted. And of course, this bill raises suspicions that the long arm of China's law could be extended to Hong Kong.
Yes.
But unfortunately, emotions have running very, very high, and there is a limited appetite to look at the pros and cons of the bill. And why is the bill necessary? You know, sort of what is behind the introduction of the bill? If we look at it.
I want to get to the bill in a moment, but just to finish up on the protests, because the protesters are vowing not to retreat. When you talk about the long arm of Chinese law extending across the border, are you worried that the People's Army could be called in if these protests continue?
I don't think so, because that would be the end, absolutely at the end of one country, two systems. And here is the rub, because both Beijing and the Hong Kong government are fully aware that there could be some instigation, deliberate instigation, trying to provoke Beijing or the Hong Kong government to send in the in the soldiers and ideally open fire, and that would be the end of one country, two systems. And I think that for example, the last umbrella movement has shown that Hong Kong government is very well aware and is also reasonably restrained. But of course, law and order has got to be maintained.
Sure. Andrew, now we have seen business back up these protests against the extradition laws, not necessarily the manner in which some of the protesters behave, but the laws, the protest against the extradition law, as you've referred to. I think more than 100 companies shut their doors yesterday in protest against the bill. Some banks and accounting firms allowed staff to join the demonstration. What is business? What's the business community in Hong Kong concerned about? What's the objection to the bill?
Well, if you look at the kind of people coming from the business community, they really are maybe the employees, and then some of course are small entrepreneurs. But if you look at the largest business associations, including the Hong Kong Chamber of Commerce, which include as its members not only Hong Kong people but the international community. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the beginning, they voiced serious concerns, and including a legislator representing the business community. But having heard all these feedback, the government has already introduced various wide-ranging amendments to the bill, raising the bar, raising the threshold, raising the barriers, both in terms of procedure and in terms of the level of crime that could qualify for this extradition process. But at the end of the day, the Hong Kong's courts, including this Court of Final Appeal, highly regarded internationally. And then, of course, in the Court of Final Appeal, there sit international and foreign judges of very high standing internationally. That is the kind of safeguards. But at the end of the day, the people in the streets, they've got no time for that. I mean, there is emotions, as I said, has risen very, very high.
Yes.
I think it's time for a pause on both sides.
But foreign business groups too have got engaged in this, and that is unusual. I think they normally would take a neutral stance on contentious political issues, but they've come out against the law. I noticed Tara Joseph, who's president of the American Chamber of Commerce, saying the credibility of Hong Kong is now on the line. And some have spoken about, you know, fear of being grabbed from Hong Kong by Chinese authorities for political reasons or inadvertent business offences. What would they be concerned of? What areas in particular, what sectors might be concerned about this?
Well, let's face it. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands, hundreds and thousands of foreign businesses operating inside China. I mean, they're every day. You go to Beijing, you go to Shanghai, you've got lots of foreign businessmen, and they are doing business, they're going to meetings, they're going to business deals, and quite a lot of these are based in Hong Kong. But if they fear for their safety, they should fear their safety inside China. And why should Beijing resort to this extradition bill to catch them? I mean, this is...
Well, for instance, if you look at, I suppose, a high-profile example lately is in terms of China retaliation against foreigners for political purposes is the response to Canada detaining Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou and then Chinese authorities detaining two Canadians in response and holding them on espionage charges. I mean, is it conceivable that if this law goes through, China could be demanding some kind of extradition of executives for companies that they have a political beef with?
Well, as I said, I mean, if this is businessmen, they are already operating in China, Beijing might as well catch them in China. I mean, it's much simpler, isn't it? But then on the other hand, if they have not committed a crime, and of course, as I said, the bill includes very, very stringent safeguards. First of all, any kind of request has got to go to the courts and of Hong Kong, different levels, of course. Of course, they can appeal to that.
So, Andrew, it sounds as though you're not that worried about the bill. Hong Kong, though, is facing competition already from other regional hubs for international investment. Singapore's emerged as a strong rival, along with cities like Shanghai and Shenzhen. And Hong Kong Stock Exchange index has dropped 1.7% on these protests. Are you concerned about, Hong Kong losing its place in that competition as a place for international investment?
Let's be clear. I am very concerned about the bill. I'm very concerned about the backlash in the general community. I'm very concerned this has erupted into violence, you know, sort of encompassing a lot of young,
sure.
Youngsters. So I'm worried about that. But as far as the competition is concerned, I mean, look at Hong Kong. I mean, it's enjoyed a very high international acclaim as the freest economy in the world for over 20 years in a
yes.
row. According to international think tanks. And I think that this is going to hold because if Hong Kong has descended into a kind of no man's land, it would not be of advantage to Beijing. I mean, let's face it. Why should Beijing turn Hong Kong into just a Shanghai? And of course, Hong Kong has got very, very robust the provisions in Hong Kong's rule of law, but also the Hong Kong government. Of
All
course,
right.
is fully committed to maintain the Hong Kong's one country systems.
Andrew Leong, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Andrew Leong is CEO and Chair of Andrew Leong International Consultants and Investments in Hong Kong.